Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, so the 12 team college football playoff bracket is out. This is my first chance to sink my teeth into it on the air. I was on my first Yingling beer at the Steelers game when the bracket got dropped Sunday morning. Like, that's a weird time to do the reveal, but I guess I got to get all the other bowls slotted. Baylor LSU here for the bowl game. That's, as bowl games go, that's like with that don't have a playoff ramification. That's a pretty good one, you know, just locally here. You get a lot of good Baylor LSU.
Yeah, aside from just all the football factors, yeah, fan bases, name brand appeal, all of that. That's a good it doesn't feel like they're trying to shoehorn something into
Well. Yeah, I think David Fletcher and everybody over at the Lone Star Sports and Entertainment real happy with that. My main takeaway, Seth, from the first ever 12-team college football playoff bracket, taking SMU over Alabama as the last team in, because the 12 seed is Clemson, who won the ACC. So they had an automatic bid. So the last of the wild card, or the at-large teams, was number 11 SMU. So ultimately, SMU losing the ACC title game hurt Alabama, because the committee said, all right, well, we know SMU didn't win their conference, but we look at their resume, and they deserve to stay in this dance. Alabama, you out. So that's a severe blow to this was a big thing out there, and I'm not going to say that I wasn't thinking this too, but everybody out there, well, the committee's just going to kowtow to the SEC in this whole thing, and they didn't. And they didn't even spurn Alabama at the expense of a Big Ten team. They did it at the expense of a team that's been in the ACC for 1 year, SMU, I thought that was good to see. I might piss off the SEC a little bit, but whatever.
Oh, no, yeah. And I say that as an honorary Aggie. It's like, look, I'm self-aware enough to know that the SEC is going to just you can't have just everybody kneel down at your feet all the time. I do like – that's a victory, too, for just – if long-term what you're hoping is that everything kind of – the level field for competitive – the playing field for – competitiveness maybe gets leveled out a little bit, and that it doesn't have to be blue blood programs or the huge conference or whatever to actually entice more recruits to come and everything. I think that's good.
I think Alabama would be favored on a neutral field against SMU, and that's not how they're deciding this. They're looking at resumes and whatnot. Any Alabama or SEC person complaining about Alabama not getting in, I would say don't lose to Oklahoma by 3 touchdowns 2 weeks before they're putting the final bracket out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, I have a hard time crying for anybody that loses 3 games and doesn't get into it. You know what I mean?
It's George Foster, who played in the NFL, and he played for University of Georgia, who obviously was happy with the selection committee. But also pointed out that, man, like, how have we changed this quickly that, it used to be, to have a chance at a national championship, you had to win all your games. To now, teams with three losses are whining about not making the playoffs. Like, get over it. Don't lose 3 times in a football season.
Totally,
okay?
Yeah, you can lose 2 and be Alabama and get in. So, yeah, I think the one thing that they're going to tweak, I heard Dan Orlovsky talking about this yesterday, and I totally agree with him, is that the 4 highest rated conference champions getting the 4 byes. I'm fine with five conference champions getting into the 12 automatically. That Boise, though, like, Boise and Arizona State are fringe top 10 teams at best, and that they're the 3 and 4 seeds in this and get a bye. Like, yeah. And this is where the Notre Dame part comes in for me, because Notre Dame can't get a bye because they're not in a conference. So the best they can be is the 5 seed. So I was looking at this before the bracket came out. I'm like, damn, Notre Dame gets the 5 seed. They're going to get the 12, and then they're going to catch the not Big Ten or not SEC conference champions in the next round.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the 5 seed, your path to get to the Final Four is 12-seeded Clemson and then Arizona State. No disrespect to either of those programs. If you're the 6 seed, your path is SMU and Boise. Like, two teams that weren't even Power 4 teams a year ago. You know,
yeah.
Now one of them is.
Yeah.
You're the 7 seed, you're Notre Dame. Your path is Indiana at home and then Georgia in the next round, you know?
Okay, so I'm torn on this one, too, because in any given year, you're going to have issues like this. And yet, for the long-term good of the sport... And trying to give each of these conferences reasons to entice people or reasons to watch.
Yeah,
it does. It's probably good for the health long term.
Maybe
as frustrating as it might be in the short
term.
Yes,
it made all those Saturday games, and in the case of Boise, Friday game, super meaningful.
Right. Yeah, and it keeps the conference championship game at least of some relevance.
Yeah,
you turn it. I don't want to turn to the NBA where all teams. Most fans aren't even aware of what division they're in.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter.
Hey, I have a recommendation for the committee. I would stop allowing people in the selection room on selection Saturday and Sunday to film video of them watching the games. Did you see that video, Seth?
I saw that. It was,
it looked like
you were the first one that I saw point out that none of them are taking notes.
No.
Like, you don't even have your phone out in front of you.
No, they're all just sitting in recliners watching games silently.
Yeah, I don't.
Just optics, what I mean?
I don't trust people who don't take notes when they're trying to digest just reams and reams and reams of information.
When they're deciding a multi-billion dollar television enterprise. I mean, that's what this
is. Yeah, can you at the very least put on a show of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just pretend that you're taking notes. I don't know. Yeah, just something.
Do the Matt Patricia thing. If you put a pen or a pencil behind your ear, it always looks like you're working harder than you actually are.
Right.
At least stick a pencil, a few of you, not all of you, because then it looks suspicious, but if at least two or three of you had pencils behind your ears.
I got excited yesterday because I realized I think I might need reading glasses, and I feel like that could be good for me. I feel like people might think I'm smarter if they see me in glasses.
I don't think... Have you ever worn glasses in your entire life?
Never. No, I don't hate them. I don't like them. I don't like wearing sunglasses, yeah, but I think I might need some reading glasses.
And you're excited about this.
Yeah, because of the give me a kind of like a academic intellectual vibe. Yeah.
Okay. So how
now if the commies take over, I'm getting rid of the glasses.
Sure.
Because those are the first people they round up and shoot. They shoot the intellectuals.
Right.
I'm gonna grub it up after that. I'm gonna
You were earlier in the show saying you wanted to do sort of a cowboy look, right?
Yeah.
Can you combine those, or are those separate, do you think?
No, yeah, I think that works.
Intellectual cowboy.
That's enough of a clash that looks like, yeah. They almost look like, then it's almost like the Hanson brothers in Slapshot.
Yeah, a little bit.
The glasses almost, because it doesn't fit with the rest of the character persona, it almost makes them that much scarier, yeah.
Intellectual cowboy. Nobody's done that yet, I don't think.
I ain't afraid to go out and bust some Bronx, but with my glasses on.
Right.
That's how good I am at it.
Right, yeah. While reading Chaucer. While sitting on the bucking Bronco, yeah.
Chaucer's an interesting choice. Yes, yes.
I'm just using something that I was forced to read back in English class. Let's see here.
Chaucer is like, hey, this is basically smut, but written in Old English.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I got to be careful what authors I throw out
this
there.
This is basically, it could have been written on a restroom wall somewhere.
Oh,
but it's,
okay.
Yeah.
Is that gonna, okay, Chaucer won't get me canceled, though, by using him.
No.
Gotcha.
No.
Okay, good. Text message. Cardinals are looking to trade Nolan Arenado, 8-time All-Star, 3 years left on his deal. Is he too much of an older guy for the Astros? Do we want to have an older guy at first and third base? I don't know if I'm on for that. Here's the thing. If Bregman leaves, you can't get choosy about who plays third base for this team. Like, if Bregman leaves, you are out over your skis at third base. And if he leaves, there's just as good a chance that they invest at some other position and just muck it at third base the way they mucked it at first base last year or in center field the last couple of years.
I think the most evidence I got that we've been extremely spoiled at third base by Alex Bregman was, I can't remember, somebody when Alex Bregman had his gremlins in his elbow last year said, well, hey, you know, Bregman's defense or lack of defense won't be the reason the Astros don't win a World Series. And I thought, like, I don't be so sure about that. Like, it's one or two key defensive plays can be the difference in whether you win a series or not. And his defense is so good. And you can, and it was the best it's ever been in a lot of regards when he was healthy last year. No, we're gonna miss that defense at third base.
100, dude. That's I feel like that game that Shea Whitcomb had playing third base. Remember, he had like three errors in one inning.
Yeah,
he had like four errors in two innings. I felt like that was the baseball gods telling Jim Crane, "You better sign this guy. this is how the other half lives over here with
Shea
errors
Whitcomb's
at third
gift
base."
To Houston.
Yes, giving us. I think it was Whitcomb. I always get him and DeZenzo mixed up. I think it was Whitcomb. The text page will tell me for sure. For what it's worth, the Astros are fourth on the odds board for Nolan Arenado. So there's, you know, they're like 10th or 12th for every other guy out there at various positions. Or
where
pitching.
Are the Astros on the odds board for Alex Bregman himself?
Well, the odds they put out there are if they don't re-sign with their current team.
Oh,
so
okay.
they don't even put the Astros there, like for any guy that's leaving, they just do it if they're not retained by their current team.
It doesn't seem fair.
No, if there were an opportunity. Well, I mean, I guess there is an opportunity to not bet on the Astros. But I have to pick a team. If you had to bet, who would you bet right now? Red Sox, Yankees. If you had to bet or Astros, like if you just
for Bregman.
For Bregman, yeah.
Yankees.
I'm gonna say.
Oh, that would suck. That's the one that would suck.
Would we get Turturro angry about Bregman signing with the Yankees? Probably not. Turturro.
No, he'd be excited about it. He'd say, "This is what good organizations do." And yeah.
No. Oh, I meant would we get that level? Yeah.
I don't think so because I don't think. Well, plus remember Bregman's first start was in New York, was it not, with the Yankees? And his mom was a Yankees fan growing up. There'd be a little bit of a Garrett Cole vibe to that.
Oh man. I don't like hearing that Garrett Cole vibe on anything. For Pete's sake. Didn't Notre Dame lose to a D3 school in Illinois? No, they weren't D3. They were a MAC school, Northern Illinois.
Oh, you know what? No, and to go back to Bregman, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I forgot this. The Tigers are the favorite right now.
Yes.
And that makes a lot of sense because I think that A.J. Hinch is probably the best suited of all MLB managers in being able to explain to the stat nerds in the organization, the analytics folks, about the extra, like, undefinable element that Alex Bregman can bring. And most analysts in baseball or analytical people, they're open to, there's certain things you can and cannot measure. I think that Hinch is the best suited to really explain that part to the analytics folks. And A.J. Hinch himself is totally going to appreciate everything that Alex Bregman brings. So I would say the Tigers most likely.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Tigers. I think the Tigers would be perfect for Bregman because it's not – they're ascending. He's that vet that kind of helps them ascend. If he gets off to a slow start with the Tigers, it ain't New York or Boston when it comes to – callers to radio or media or whatnot. It's a softer media market. He's got Hinch there. I think Detroit's got money to spend too right now.
Okay, so I did find odds for Bregman that include the Astros.
Oh,
right now the Astros are the favorite at +380. So would you put $10 of your hard-earned money down to win $48 if Bregman comes back to the Astros?
Sure. +380 sound like that seems like decent value.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
You need the market to dry up a little bit. I don't think the Astros are moving off of 6 years, you know, and I don't think they're going to get in the neighborhood of $200 million. So you need, but +380 is decent value. If you told me it was like closer to even money, I would have said, hell no. I mean, I think he's leaving, but that's a 4-to-1 shot that he's sticking around.
The thing that I always just, you got to remind yourself of this, that it feels like, okay, what? 6 years at 156 versus 7 years at 175. What's 20 or 30 million dollars? What's it really matter? It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot of guaranteed money.
Yes.
And Bregman's at an age where that last year of the contract is certainly not. He's not probably going to make that money, right, realistically, if he were a free agent that year. It's a lot of money, no matter how rich you are. It's an extra 20 or 30 million is a lot.
No doubt. All right, the Texans are getting some reinforcements this week. How significant are these returns? We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans, I should say, on that in a minute.